Father, we come before you, and it's so good to worship and to praise you. Lord, to gather together as a church family, even though it's through online technology, Father, might you be glorified through that technology. We thank you for it. And more importantly, we thank you that we can come to you, that through your son Jesus and through his invitation where he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And Father, we confess to you that that word weary often characterizes our hearts. And so we come before you bringing the cares, the worries, the weariness of the week. We're in the middle of troubling times in our world, Lord, and we pray for our world. We pray, Lord, that you would be with our community. We pray, Lord, that you would be with our church family. We pray that you would be with the individual families, Lord, of our church. Watch over us, protect us, keep us safe at this time. Lord, we pray that this coronavirus could quickly leave our world and things could return back to normal. And yet, Father, as we are in a new normal, we pray that our hearts would find rest in you, as Jesus says, that our souls would find rest in you. So thank you for this time that we can open up our Bibles, we can hear from you, the comfort and strength that your word brings, that we can worship you through lifting our voices in song. And Father, at the end of the day, we pray that we would be transformed by you, that as we rest our hearts in you, we would see you alive and at work in and through us, causing each one of us to be a picture of Christ to our world that so desperately needs it at this time. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that we can gather together. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this strange week in our world continues. Again, I am struck by the fact that here in the middle of March, 2020, it's like our world just came to a screeching halt. Like, who would have thought that we would be concerned about the size number of a gathering? Like, normally at church, we're excited about packing out this place, excited when it's really full and there's hardly any seats and we're overflowing and people are standing in the back. This morning, we're excited that 7 people are here, all right? It's like, job well done, team. It only took 7 of us in the sanctuary. Now that we're getting into the groove, maybe next week we can bring it down to 6. Like, we are excited right now about small numbers. Instead of thinking about how to get close to people, we're thinking about how to stay apart and distance ourselves. I'm sure you've thought about that. If you've been anywhere out and about this week, whether it's to the store or to the park or even just talking to your neighbors, have I maintained a good distance from everybody? Am I 6 feet apart? Right? The old 80s song by Sting and the Police is like prophecy. Don't stand so close to me. Or here's a picture that I saw online from a deli this past week. It said, 3 clients in store at a time, thank you, and do not touch the cat. Like, I love that. Like, keep the number small, people. Get your sandwich. Everybody stays apart. And don't even think about petting the cat. But I'm sure that you have all had an interaction with someone about staying apart. Sort of the friendly, you know, hands up, stay away, kind of elbow sort of greeting. The handshake or the hug is totally outlawed right now in our world. But your life probably falls into one of 2 categories. See, right now, you are either someone whose life got instantly super busy at work. And we have in our church healthcare workers and nurses, those who work at grocery stores, those who are required to interact with people in their jobs. And we need to be praying for those people for strength and safety from the coronavirus. And we have those who in our church have family members who've had the coronavirus and are having to care for them and self-quarantine. So there's the super busy category. Or Your life may have slowed down considerably and is largely being spent at home right now, whether working from home or told by your job that you have to stay home, or you're a student home from school or a parent trying to figure out this whole online homeschooling routine. And that may be a great thing. You may be loving it, or you might be going stir crazy and your kids are driving you crazy. I mean, who's a little stir crazy stuck inside right now? On the other side, who's loving all of this staying home? I never want it to end. You know, if you are forced to stay at home for your job or school, let me ask the real question. Who has stayed in their pajamas all day? See, you can raise your hand to that question because none of us will actually see you raise your hand right now. So you can admit that. Or who's done a Zoom conference where you have a nice shirt on, you know, to look good for the camera, maybe in front of your coworkers or the people you're talking about, but underneath your desk, out of camera sight, you've got shorts on or still your pajama pants, right? But how crazy is all of this? I think if we're honest, we've probably all had mixed thoughts about it. Like, there's things that we love about this new normal right now, but there's also things we dearly miss. I'm sure at some point this week, and probably more than once, you have said, I wish things were back to the way they were. I want things to be back to normal before the coronavirus. I want pre-virus living. Like, that's going to be the new designation in our world right now, pre-virus or post-virus. But who doesn't miss going out to eat at their favorite restaurant, seeing your friends at school? Who doesn't miss being at work and seeing people face to face instead of all this video conferencing? Who doesn't miss the way your hands used to feel because now they're also dried out from being washed all the time? But we want to see our world return to the way that it was before coronavirus arrived and we had to worry about group sizes and staying apart, right? It's not normal, in a sense, to stay apart. And so maybe you worry that things will never really be normal again. And who knows? We don't know what's in store for us any more than we knew in January or February what awaited us in March. Truly, this is March Madness, all right? But again, let's be reminded that we have a God who does know. Over the past few weeks, we have looked at Philippians chapter 4, which has been such an encouragement. And it says, do not be anxious about anything. And in that anything, you can include the word coronavirus. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's an incredible promise. If there was ever a verse to write down on the old 3x5 index card and memorize it, it's this in Philippians 4. God's peace will guard your hearts and minds. And I love how expansive that is. Like, God's peace is there to calm the emotions of your heart when they're getting the best of you and racing at a time like this. And God's peace is there to calm the thoughts in your mind when you're starting to freak out and jump to conclusions and expect the worst. Right? God's peace will guard your hearts and minds. And then I love how it continues in verse 8 of Philippians 4, where Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Again, I don't know about you, but a lot of my thinking has largely been devoted to the coronavirus. Watching the news, hearing updates, checking online, wondering how it's affecting my life, what things have changed in my life. And yet, a verse like this tells me to recenter my thoughts on the things of Christ, to reflect on the things that are worthy of praise, the things that are good and excellent, the things that are true according to God's word, because my mind can easily think about all the what-ifs and the unknowns. What about you? right? There's a lot of what ifs in our world right now, a whole lot of unknowns. In fact, it seems like the what ifs really can be that new normal. Well, what if this virus gets worse and it spreads to more and more people? What if there aren't enough hospital beds and respirators and ventilators and masks for everybody? What if I get the virus? What if I lose my job and don't go back to work? What if the economy does come crashing down? What if there's a food shortage? What if my kids never go back to school and I have to teach them from home forever and ever, right? What if online church is what we do forever and ever? There's all sorts of what ifs, unknowns, uncertainties all around us. And it seems to be constantly changing moment by moment every day. So what we think about matters. How you focus your thoughts is crucial, right? To focus them on whatever is true. Whatever is honorable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, Philippians says, think about these things. And so to do that this morning, I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 91. All right, if you tuned in last week, we looked at Psalm 84, okay? And we talked about how to make this new normal a spiritual oasis in our lives. How to go from social distancing to spiritual deepening. Well, today, we want to see where our source of confidence and encouragement comes from in the midst of all of these what-ifs and uncertainties. So take a look at how it starts. Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Now, the original setting of this psalm was an army getting ready to face the threats of battle and plague. You can picture a group of soldiers huddled together at night, not sure what they're going to face on the battlefield the next morning. They could easily be swept away by fears and worries and thoughts of terror. As a family, in the evenings, during this stay-at-home time, we've been watching through the Lord of the Rings extended edition on Blu-ray. So what that means is that every movie is like 3 or 4 hours long, and it takes us several sittings to get through them all. But it's been a great series to watch during this time of sort of, you know, shelter in place, stay at home. And if there was ever a movie series with lots of big battles, it's Lord of the Rings. We just finished watching the second film, The Two Towers, which ends with that awesome battle at Helm's Deep. And all of the men and the elves are gathered together in their fortress while this giant army of evil orcs marshals on the battlefield and advances toward them. And you can see the look of terror on their faces, wondering how in the world they're going to defeat these orcs. It's such a vast army, such a great opponent. What are they going to do? Well, that's the nature of why this psalm, Psalm 91, was written. God's people were ready for a battle, and it was a great opponent filled with terror on every side. And I don't think it's any different for us right now in our world. This global pandemic, coronavirus, seems like a giant army of evil orcs, right? This invisible threat advancing upon us. What are we going to do? How will we face it and deal with it? Will we emerge victorious? And the answer to the soldiers ready for battle in Psalm 91 is the same answer for us today. Look at what it says. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, it's all about where your source of shelter is found. Notice how it said, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. It didn't say, he who occasionally touches base with the Most High. He who offers up a random prayer to the Most High. He who gives a shout out to the Most High. It's he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. meaning he who resides, he who lives in, rests upon, remains in, he who lodges, settles in, pitches their tent, and stays put in the shelter of the Most High. Are you spiritually dwelling in the shelter of the Most High? Are you clinging to him, trusting in him, calling out to him? Here's the challenge for us this morning, and it's simply to go from shelter in place to shelter in Christ. See, we hear this phrase all the time now, shelter in place, stay at home. No non-essential businesses open, only the essential ones. Like when you're driving along the parkway, you see the digital signs, stay at home, stop the spread, right? We're to shelter in place. Well, what's essential for you and me right now is to shelter in Christ. I love how it uses that phrase, the shelter of the Most High. Because obviously, that refers to God, our Maker and Creator. He is the Most High. There is no one bigger or higher or greater or stronger than Him. But I want you to notice, what did Gabriel tell Mary when he showed up to give his announcement? Luke chapter 1, verse 31, Gabriel says to Mary, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called what? The Son of the Most High." That's Jesus' true identity. He's the Son of the Most High. Or look at how it's stated in Mark chapter 5, right? This is when Jesus goes and heals a guy who's possessed by a demon. It says, when Jesus saw him from a distance, this man ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" In fact, he says, in Jesus' name, or in God's name, don't torture me. This is spoken by the demon-possessed man. It's the demon speaking through this guy. And the demon isn't saying this in praise to Jesus, quite the opposite. He's stating a fact of the universe that really scares him, because he's a demon and he knows who Jesus is and what Jesus is capable of, that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. That he is more powerful and greater and stronger than anything else in all existence. That's what Most High means. It didn't say fairly high or nearly high or mostly high. It said Most High. Higher than anyone or anything else. And that's because Jesus has loved us and saved us and forgiven us. And now we have a relationship with him, the Son of the Most High God. That means we can do exactly what Psalm 91 is saying. Look back at the verse. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." And the shadow of the Almighty is that place of care and protection. When this psalm was written, they lived in a land where the sun was oppressive and hot. Like the daytime heat could be very dangerous and life-threatening. Hiding inside the shadows was cool and life-saving. I mean, we've all experienced this in the summer when the noonday sun is just blazing down upon us and you want to kind of hide out in the shadow of a tree or a building. It's that respite and relief from the ongoing heat. That's exactly what the Lord's shadow does for us. It's that respite and relief from all of the fears and uncertainties and the what ifs that are trying to oppress us right now. We have to abide under his protective shadow. Again, we have to go from shelter in place to shelter in Christ. And look at how this imagery continues. Verse 3 of Psalm 91, it says, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." Could there be a more timely statement than that? Deliverance from the deadly pestilence. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't get coronavirus. That doesn't mean that your life or your world won't be turned upside down by it. I mean, for most of us, it already has. Life is turned upside down and deeply affected. Again, the question remains, will it ever come back to normal again? But this verse is saying that God is the one who delivers you through this new normal. He's the God who brings you to the other side. He's the God who gives you life and hope, the God who brings you peace. The snare of the fowler referred to a guy who trapped birds. I don't know a lot of fowlers. Like if you're a fowler, give me a shout. Let's talk about that, right? But when there's a trap out there that you can't see, that is ready to ensnare you, this verse is saying that God is the one who comes to deliver you out of it. That instead of lying there stuck and helpless in the trap with your wing caught like a helpless bird, the image is of God coming alongside of you, undoing that trap and providing escape and release. See, it's easy to feel stuck or helpless right now, to picture ourselves in a trap thinking there's nothing I can do to fix this situation or change it. This whole global pandemic event is out of my hands. Which it is, right? Way too often in life, we are under that illusion of control. That with all of our technology and advancements and intelligence in the world, we think as a people that we will rise up and make this world great. But as coronavirus has swept in that invisible enemy, we have been quickly reminded of how not in control we are, of how truly dependent as a people we are. And yet this verse didn't say that God wants you to take control and get yourself out from the trap of being stuck, you know, for you to take matters into your own hands and for you to figure out what to do. It says he will deliver you. See, this psalm is all about the actions of what God does for you as you trust in him. And look at how this is communicated in the next verse. Verse 4, it says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. And if you have the NIV, it says, he will cover you with his feathers. That's what the pinions are. They're the outer part of a bird's wing. Basically, the flight feathers, the big, majestic feathers. I love this statement about pinions that I came across. It says, scientifically, a raven has 17 primary wing feathers, the big ones at the end of the wing. They are called pinion feathers, and a crow has 16. So the difference between a crow and a raven is only a matter of opinion. See, I think that is fantastic. You can take that with you next time you go to trivia night somewhere. That is useful information. But I love how specific this psalm is. Because when you think of a great bird, the flight feathers, the pinions are what we picture. They allow the bird to fly, but they're also what provides protection for anything underneath. Literally Wednesday afternoon, as I was finishing at the church and walking up to the house, I saw this massive hawk perched on one of our trees. I hadn't seen a hawk on our church property before, and he was gigantic. And then he took off in flight, opening those huge wings. My first thought was if Callie, our cat, was outside, because that hawk looked like he could literally just pick her up and fly off with her and she would become lunch or something, you know. But he had a massive wingspan. Here's a picture of a hawk, and look at those wing feathers. And this psalm is directly telling us to picture ourselves underneath the wing feathers of God. Talk about a perfectly safe place to be. When it says to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, you can picture yourself high up in a tree or on a mountaintop inside the nest where God's wing feathers are completely covering you and surrounding you. That under those wings, you find that place of refuge. This is a common image throughout Scripture. Take a look at Psalm 57, verse 1. It says, be merciful to me, O God, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until the storms of destruction pass by, until this global pandemic passes by. Or Psalm 63, verse 7, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. God watches over you like a great hawk or an eagle. His massive wings surround you and protect you so that you can do what Psalm 63 says, you can sing for joy. But that only happens when you're in the shadow of his wings. Or back to verse 4 of Psalm 91, he will cover you with his pinions and under his wings you will find refuge. See, the prepositions are so important. You have to be under his wings, in the shadow of his wings. Does that describe your life right now? Back to what we've been saying all morning. You have to go from shelter in place to shelter in Christ. Are you dwelling in him, under his care and protection? And look at what happens when you do. Verse 5 of Psalm 91, it says, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes away at noonday. Did you notice how every part of the day is covered in those verses? Night, daytime, noon. There isn't one part of your day where the Lord isn't with you, protecting you and watching over you. Sure, we may be scared and uncertain about what's going on. Who isn't, right? As this verse says, terror and arrows and pestilence and destruction are around us. I don't like any of those things. That's what our world feels like right now. Maybe you've had sleepless nights, tossing and turning, or throughout the day as the news is on and you're getting updates, you feel that panic begin to rise and overtake you. But when you're under the shelter of the Lord's wing, when he's your dwelling place, there is no better place to be. Verse 9 in the psalm says, because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. I love how that is phrased. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Are you doing that? And I want you to go back to the beginning of the psalm. Take a look at verse 2 one last time. What does it say? The psalmist is saying, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He's the one doing the speaking, right? It's the psalmist who's written this. He's saying these things so that he himself can hear them. And that's so important. He's saying to himself, hey, self, listen up. My refuge, my fortress is God in whom I trust. I am not dwelling in my worry or my panic. It's not me thinking I can figure this all out right now. It's not me hoping for the best or trying to ignore the news or to pretend this will all go away really soon. No, no. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God in whom I trust. Don't miss this concept. It's the last thing to think about this morning, and it's simply this. What you say to yourself matters. What you say to yourself matters. This is a biblical concept. It is okay to talk to yourself, right? In fact, you have to talk to yourself. You have to silence your feelings, which can be all over the place, up and down at any given moment of life, and instead, you have to talk to yourself. At a time like this, more than ever before, you have to speak to yourself the truth about who God is and how he is your shelter. I love what C.J. Mahaney says in his book, Living the Cross-Centered Life. And he talks about this concept. He says, if you trust your feelings first and foremost, if you exalt your feelings, if you invest your feelings with final authority, they'll deposit you on the emotional roller coaster which so often characterizes our lives. And maybe that's been you this week, on that emotional roller coaster. He says to exalt and rely on our feelings is called listening to ourselves. And most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. So he goes on to say, on a daily basis, we're faced with two simple choices. We can either listen to ourselves and our constantly changing feelings about our circumstances, or, he says, we can talk to ourselves about the unchanging truth of who God is and what he has accomplished for us at the cross through his son, Jesus. But he says, unfortunately, if you're anything like me, there's a good chance you do a lot of listening to yourself and your feelings every day. How about you? Are you listening to yourself right now and your feelings during this strange time in our world? Are you letting your feelings take center stage and deposit you on that emotional roller coaster where it really is up and down? Or are you talking to yourself? What you say to yourself matters. Are you speaking the truth to yourself? Are you doing what it says in verse 2 of Psalm 91? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God in whom I trust. I don't know if you've caught how spatial this psalm is. You know, what this is all about is being in a relationship with Jesus, where He is our refuge, He is our fortress, we are underneath the covering of His wings, He is our shelter in which we are dwelling. It is so spatial. And dwelling in Him, dwelling in the Son of the Most High, is a spiritual reality that happens right now by faith, that you are trusting in Jesus to save you, that He was the one, the Son of the Most High, who came to this earth, who lived that perfect life we never could, and then died the death that we deserved because of our sins, in order to pay for our sins, to forgive us, to cleanse our hearts, to make us new, and to save us. And once you trust in that truth, you are eternally saved and become His. I like how Paul speaks the truth to himself. If anyone, knew that speaking to yourself matters, it was Paul. And what did he say to himself? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is the best talking to yourself that you could ever do. Hey, self, listen up. This is what's true about me. This is who I am. My old self has been crucified with Christ. I have been forgiven and made new, and now my new self is letting Christ live in me. And who is Christ but the one who has loved me and gave up His life for me to save me? This verse perfectly captures the heart of the gospel. Have you trusted in that? Have you, by faith, trusted in Jesus to save you? See, you can't shelter in Him until you first trust in Him. That's where it begins. We live in a crazy world right now. The future is so uncertain, and yet Jesus is your one true, permanent, lasting hope. He is the Son of the Most High God, and you can shelter in Him right now, for all that we are going through. And as His son or daughter, if you believed in Him by faith, you will shelter in Him for all of eternity. Because what He's promising here, to shelter under the Most High, is the reality of what it means for eternity to live with Him in His presence, in His house. Speak this truth to yourself. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we can dwell in the shelter of the Most High, that You are our God who has made us, You have made this world, and You have sent Your Son into this world to save us, and that by faith we can dwell in Him. Father, we know that this is an uncertain world and an uncertain time, yet we thank You that we can abide underneath Your shadow, underneath Your wing feathers, where You promise to care for us and protect us. As the psalmist says, because we have made You our dwelling place. And Lord, I just ask and pray that You would help us to do that this week. Lord, that we would speak that truth to ourselves and say, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. You are my God in whom I trust. Oh, Father, I pray that we would rest in You this week, that we would be reminded once again of the grace that You have given us, how You have sent us Your Son as our hope. Father, we live in a world where hope has grown pretty thin. Thank you that we have the hope of Jesus that we can cling to and trust in and rest upon and shelter in. Father, help us this week to go from shelter in place to shelter in Christ, into Jesus our Savior, the one who is our living hope. We thank you for the promises your word gives us. Help us to be a people faithful to be speaking these truths to ourselves, Father, because we know that you are the one who loves us and have sent your Son to give his life up for us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.